Hey guys, this is your host Nitin Binhani and a very warm welcome to my startup podcast channel Jazair Audio, where we share real stories with real learnings. So in partnership with Op Business, we are presenting to you a three-part podcast series on how to build a profitable unicorn startup. Now, Op Business is a B2B procurement and fintech platform, which is the youngest profitable Indian unicorn, having crossed over 2 billion of revenues in FY22-23. The seven-year-old startup, which turned unicorn in July 2021, it has leapfrogged to a valuation over $6 billion, operating across 20-plus countries, and has an impressive backing from the top global investors like Tiger Global, Norwest, SoftBank, etc. So let me introduce to the two co-founders, Nitin Jain and Vasant Sridhar. Both Nitin and Vasant will share their valuable insights based on their journey of building Op Business and more so turning it into a profitable unicorn that it is today. Nitin is the chief business officer who handles the overall business development, whereas Vasant is the chief sales officer handling sales at both Oxiso and Op Business. Without further delays, let's welcome our today's special guest. Nitin and Vasant, thank you for joining us and pleasure to have you on board.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nitin, for having us. And I'm very, very happy and glad to be here. I'm Nitin Jain. I'm one of the founders along with Vasant. Yeah, thank you so much for having us on the podcast.
Yeah, Vasant here. Thanks, Nitin. I think quite happy to connect to you and have this free-flowing conversation.
Let's start with, you know, how did this entrepreneurship bug hit you? I mean, how did you come up with this idea of Op Business?
Yeah, so, you know, I was in London before Op Business happened. So I was in London from 2008 to 2015. And, you know, I was just constantly talking to myself out there in London that whether I'm making an impact. And, you know, the answer every single time I spoke to myself was a resounding no. So I was just working for the rich guys like BMW, Volkswagen and other telecom companies and just making them richer, you know, by designing products, how to manage their liabilities and their assets. And, you know, I was not really working for the people on the ground, those who really matter, the SMEs who are sort of, you know, the crux of the economy and those who are not as sort of rich or those who don't have that kind of access to capital as the big guys do. And, you know, that's what inspired me to come back to India. Where there's a plethora of opportunities, where there is massive opportunity out there and a real, you know, canvas to create an impact. So that's really the inspiration that I drew that, you know, I don't want to be working for the rich guys or the big guys. I want to be working for the real on-ground businesses where I would be able to make a dent.
And this was in the year?
This was in the year 2015.
Vasant, do you want to add to it?
Yeah, I think obviously the hunger to do something big and, you know, make a dent in the universe was, I think, what united all of us, right? But I think having said that, there's another element that there were also challenges that, you know, we had observed in our professional careers, you know, prior to this. And it was also linked to a lot of things that we had seen, you know, over time before even the starting of business. Nitin comes from a, you know, family business in construction. I spent my time in ITC in manufacturing. I was actually at procurement and working on efficiency. So there were actually challenges that we had witnessed firsthand in our corporate experiences that we realized that ye to problem hai, there is something that needs to be solved. And no, I think the realization that today, if for us, like we are into procurement and raw material services, firsthand experience that if a large organization like ITC today has inefficiency in procurement and there is information asymmetry and there is enough negotiation power that even a large organization has, I think the reality check that even smaller organizations will be facing these challenges, given we were also working with them, made us realize that yes, we have seen the problem firsthand. Let's not sort of solve for it within the large corporate. Let's come out and actually build a corporate solving all these problems for, you know, different companies in India.
So what were the key pain areas or the challenges that you observed in the procurement sector?
Yeah, so, you know, I come from a little bit of a construction background where on my mother's side, they used to be infrastructure contractors. And typically, you know, what I observed was that, you know, there are only two or three distributors where they procure. The reason for doing that is one, ease and convenience. They don't have anyone else to go to and they don't have the time to actually go and search for other vendors in other areas. So if they're sitting in Ghaziabad, they would typically procure only from people in and around Ghaziabad, right? So that's only two or three distributors. And the second thing obviously is that not everyone is standing up to give you credit. So a person from Faridabad is not going to come and give you credit for a person sitting out there in Ghaziabad. So there is no unified platform for doing this. And typically what happens is that you end up procuring more expensive raw materials. So this was was a pain point that we realized, and that what ended up happening was that, you know, we ended up opening distributors and suppliers from all over India. We ended up giving a platform where procurement became so easy that you had access to not two or three, but 200 or 300 suppliers via us, obviously. And yeah, access to credit was also a problem which we solved. So these were the pain points that we saw, and then we immediately found a solution to all of these. And it was just staring at us in our face.
Vasant, do you want to add to it?
So I'll tell you what happened in ITC. So we are obviously looking at streamlining procurement, right? And for most industries, procurement is 60-70% of the entire cost, typically manufacturing industries, contracting industries, etc. I was looking at both factories and also an infrastructure project that was happening in Guntur, right? Now we realized that procurement, the process is so broken. No one procures directly from the manufacturers. You go through so many disintermediates out there. There are dealers, distributors, vendors. Each of them would be supplying one brand, one product, one SKU. There is no centralized procurement that's there. The other issue is for any entity which has locations across India, like typical contractors have locations across India, ITC itself, every unit has factories across India. Within that, there is disparate procurement. The local guy procures, you know, within his territory. So the ability to aggregate volumes and get negotiation power was not there. There were too many intermediaries that I mentioned, dealers, distributors from whom you had to procure. Credit was also a problem. You need credit. They charge a lot for credit. Sometimes they don't give credit. And I think the reality that if today a large organization does not have as streamlined procurement that there is ability to improve it. Look at it from the side of the smaller manufacturers, the smaller contractors, the SMEs out there. When 60-70% of their cost base is raw material and other materials to procure, but today none of them procure from the large manufacturers, they buy from dealers, distributors, they don't have access to one supplier to provide all products, all brands across all territories. This experience was what we wanted to solve and smoothen through, you know, our platform.
Now, you have a great co-founding team at Op Business. Did you guys knew each other prior to the venture?
Yeah, so Ashish was sort of the person who got all of us together. He got Bhuvan, me, Ruchi, Vasant together. And that was sort of the beginning of it all, right? So he kind of, you know, assembled a very diverse sort of founding team, right? So Vasant was great in terms of sales and operations. So I had a little bit of a banking background, but I was very, very extrovert in terms of speaking and so on and so forth. Ruchi was sort of, you know, great at processes and managing money. Bhuvan, again, was handling the entire tech of Snapdeal. And Ashish himself was like a very strong business mindset kind of guy. So, you know, he got a great set of founders, people together with diverse backgrounds. And then we kind of divided our sort of expertise areas, you know, separately. So Vasant kind of took over the South and the operations bit of it. I took over the North and a little bit of West. Ashish took risk on his own hands. Ruchi took finance as a forte. And Bhuvan was obviously managing tech. So the great thing about us is that, you know, we never sort of stepped on each other's shoes, and we sort of divided our areas, and we were just five very smart people in a room, and we knew what to do.
It's interesting that everybody had his or her work areas really cut out. Would you thus regard this as a key secret of having a great founding team with complementary skill sets?
Yeah, that's very important. You know, when you assemble great people, but you have to ensure that, you know, the areas that they're working in, no two founders are colliding there, because, you know, what's the point of then having smart people work on ideas where two or three same skill set people are working in the same area? Then you don't need more than that. So we kind of divided our areas, and we were very, very coherent about it. So that's what worked for us.
Vasant, can you walk us through some of the challenges you guys faced in the early stages, and, you know, how did you overcome them?
See, we were trying to provide our solutions, our platform to traditional businesses, right? Our typical customers were manufacturers, contractors, brick and mortar of India, right? Typically customers in Trichy, not even in Bangalore, but in the Peenya side of Bangalore, not in Bombay, but in Pune, Talavade, right? So that's customer base that we were targeting. And I think these were already traditional businesses driven by promoters who had been in this business forever, right? So I think both the product selling to them, the concept sell, as well as the making them come onto our platform when traditionally there hasn't been any new thought, new energy, or any form of new age solution to these businesses. I think that was the first challenge that we all faced, that we are trying to disrupt undisrupted traditional market where there will be cultural resistance to change. And I think that was the fundamental problem that we saw. And to answer how did we sort of overcome this challenge, I think the honest answer is all of us in the first 4 years, and in fact even today, are very hands-on and on the ground ourselves. So in the first year, the first 30 customers that were done in North were actually customers that were closed by Nitin himself, where he met the customer, explained the vision, explained the product, explained the benefit. And so was the case that I did in South, right? I think the challenge is only overcome if you have a hands-on approach. You do not look at it like building a team. You go on the ground, you listen to them, you pitch to them, you listen to their problems, and you onboard them yourself, and you take the responsibility of ensuring that their experience is smooth. You problem solve with them. And I think that's key to not only how we solved it on day one, but I think that's also key to how we believe organizations scale, that even today, a very, very hands-on organization, DNA in our approach.
Nathan, do you want to add to it?
Yeah, so, you know, as Vasant pointed out, the initial set of customers were just closed by either Vasant, Ashish, me, you know, in terms of sales and so on and so forth. So that's very, very key that we still hold very dear to our hearts. So even today, it's Vasant who's sort of going and meeting new clients, it's me who's going and meeting suppliers or associations and so on and so forth. So that's something that is very important for even new or existing startups or even old startups to maintain, because otherwise what happens is that you lose reality with respect to the ground, and you know, it helps you overcome challenges that come up. So, you know, we faced a plethora of challenges. So there were several challenges, like people said that, you know, you guys don't know anything about steel. It's a very mafia driven market. It's a very dirty market. You will never be able to make any inroads. And you know, that actually gave us confidence that, you know, if people are saying this, there has to be inefficiency and we have to democratize the entire process. And you know, that's where we saw an opportunity and we jumped into it. So that's so every challenge leads to an opportunity. So if there are no challenges, people would have solved it immediately. So we believe that challenges are extremely important, and it should not be easy. So if it were easy, everyone would be doing it, right? So yeah, so we stuck to our guns, and then that kind of worked for us.
So what advice would you give to the founders of B2B startups, you know, that are really starting up at the initial stages?
Two advices that I would typically give anyone who's starting. The first advice is obviously adding on what I said earlier, that it's necessary that you're extremely hands-on in this approach. You have to onboard every customer on yourself. You have to feel the problem yourself, and you have to solve the problem yourself, you know, so that you are able to witness the challenge that's there. Only then people under can replicate and scale that business. I think the other thing that I would obviously talk about is, if you look at the B2B landscape, right, you'll realize that it's a fairly large landscape. Market size, unlike B2C, is never an issue in B2B. Like to give you some number, just one category that we started with, steel, is a $80-90 billion market, right? So I think market size, that a lot of people face challenges that people say in B2C businesses, like say in D2C, right? Those challenges typically are not there in B2B. The challenge that's typically there in B2B is more about solving for repeat and profit pool. So if someone needs to be successful in B2B, I think one, you have to have a hands-on approach and solve a problem or feel a problem yourself rather than inventing a problem which doesn't exist. And the other thing is, irrespective of the scale that you are in, you should see that there is profit pool, there is a path to monetize, and there is enough margins at play for you to actually make it a very large business, because market size is never a deterrent here. I think it's the profit pool that becomes the question of how you can solve it with an efficient go-to-market, with lower cost, lower variable cost, lower overheads. I think the challenge is to ensure you're very commercial in your approach and you can solve the problem with clear path to profitability, or at least a profit pool. And I think that's the direction that anyone in B2B should keep in mind, apart from other challenges that they'll anyway face.
Nathan, do you want to add to it?
Yeah, so, you know, I typically give two advice to the SME part of it. So not the new age startups. I guess new age startup, Vasant has covered beautifully. So, you know, the two things that they don't do very well is, one, they don't like to delegate and trust. And so most of the times the promoters would be holding the cards very close to the chest. So they would not like to, trust anyone else to take over or even expand their business, right? So that's something that they need to learn and get out. The mindset needs to evolve a lot more. That's one. And the second thing is that they don't innovate and upskill. So, you know, they don't keep abreast with the new technologies that are coming through or the new ways of doing business. Or the world is changing at a very, very rapid pace. Very rapid pace, especially in the last 2-3 years. You know, with the introduction of AI, with the introduction of automation, with COVID changing the way people are doing business online, and so on and so forth, right? So the SMEs need to get out of the comfort zone and start deploying or at least learning the new technologies and keeping them abreast. Because what is going to happen if they don't do that? The startups are going to eat part of the pie. So that's essentially these SMEs need to keep aware.
Nathan, what were some of the key milestones or turning points in the early growth of Off Business, and how did you kind of navigate your first fundraising?
Yeah, so, you know, in the first year, we kind of managed with the capital that we had till about October, November 2016. And that is when we were very close to running out of capital, because the VCs that we met close to about 70, 80 VCs, and half of them did not believe in the business model because they could not fathom the fact that commerce and credit could go hand in hand because there was no global comparable or even comparable in India, right? So how do the VCs typically invest? They would see whether there's a global company who's already built this, how are they valued? There was no other company which was sort of marrying commerce and credit altogether. So they were not sure about our business model. That was one. The second thing is that whenever we told them that, you know, we want to do things the profitable way and we will not grow unprofitably, that actually somehow sent red flags in their mind, right? That these guys only want to concentrate on profit and they're not worried about scale and revenue. And so we stuck to our guns and we did not mind getting rejected. So finally, Zodius, you know, believed in our business model and what we were trying to do. They invested in us, and that was the moment when we realized that, you know, stick to your guns no matter what. You know, you may get rejections from multiple places. That should not deter you. That should not make you feel regretful. And just because people are rejecting you should not make you believe that, you know, your business model is a failure. So that was the aha moment, and that we kind of stuck to our guns. We kind of did only what we felt was right, and we did not wait for others to actually tell us what was right. So yeah, that was a turning point in our thought process.
No, and listen, I think one more point I'll add to a turning point. And I think what happened is that we started as a commerce business, but we realized that any commerce business has embedded finance in it. There is credit that's given. There is a working capital cycle. And hence, whether it is for stickiness, whether for scale, whether it's for repeat, or whether it's profitability, we realized that there is embedded finance that's there in the business. And I think a decision that we took circa 2016, that we will actually do it ourselves. We will, you know, build an NBFC ourselves, apply for a license, understand credit, understand sales, understand customer demarcation, liability, fundraising, and to actually build a financial services business too, I think was a decision that we all took, you know, in 2016. And I think that would also be a turning point for us, because if you now look at us as a group, we obviously have two well-funded unicorns. We obviously have Off Business, and we also have Oxyzo, which is now also independently, which started as a captive financial unit, but today less than 10% of its business is captive. It's a standalone financial institution itself. And I think that would also mark a turning point, that we decided to take the more rigorous, painful, hard effort of building a financial services business in parallel with a commerce business, rather than, you know, solve it through externally, you know, externally.
So essentially, to summarize the first part, both Nitin and Vasan recommend that founders should always have boots on the ground, that is to be closer to their customers. Founders must adopt a hands-on approach and not just depend on theory. They must also identify the key challenges of their customers and provide a frictionless solution to those challenges, all the while focusing on both growth and profitability. Folks, that's it for part one. Stay tuned for part two of this podcast series, which is coming up very soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Nitin and Basant, for sharing great valuable insights.
Lastly, I want to thank all the listeners who took their valuable time to listen to this podcast. Keep rocking, be safe, and don't forget to share.